Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. Are you ready to be a rock star? Achieve incredible success in your life, business, and career? Learn the inside scoop on how these rockstar achievers have jumped over hurdles, plowed through roadblocks, scaled their dreams to great heights, and made powerful changes within their communities. And here's your Rockstar Achievers host, Catherine M. White, the Rockstar Maker and founder of Accelerated Results 365.
Hello, and welcome to today's show of Rockstar Achievers. I'm really excited to have with us today a really incredible woman who has been through some amazing challenges, if you can call challenges amazing, that is. But what's amazing is how she has come through what she's been through and powerfully come through and what she's done with her life. So I would like to introduce to you our guest, Unika, the founder of Unika Inc. She is also a speaker and author. Unika grew up being bounced around between foster homes and group homes, lacking stability and guidance in how to make good choices. She practically raised herself and learned to be independent at an early age and spent a lot of her childhood running away and searching for love in all the wrong places and from the wrong people. She made it as far as 12th grade and then dropped out because she was embarrassed that she couldn't afford the expenses that came with being a senior. Senior pictures, prom, SAT tests, and all the other expenses that go along with that. So she left school at the age of 17 and began working as a stripper. The money and freedom that she thought she had became an addiction. Eventually, something clicked and she realized she wasn't really free, but instead she was owned and controlled by the club owners and the men that she danced for. This realization led to a path of self-discovery. She is now on a mission to help women and children in foster care build awareness of self-reinvention and teach them how to reach their full potential, no matter where they came from or what they've done. Unika says, you don't have to be a product of your environment. Build your empire with the bricks and stones thrown at you in your past. Unika, welcome to the show today. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, Unika, you obviously have quite a story to tell. And I would love for you to share that story because I feel that what you have to share is going to be so impactful for many of our listeners. And so if you could tell us, first of all, tell us a little bit about your story growing up. What was it like to be a foster child and to be bounced around from different homes and between foster homes and group homes? What was that like?
It was very unstable. Mentally, you had to be strong in order to go through that. I bounced around from so many foster homes because I was rebellious. I didn't want to be there. I knew that they wouldn't treat me like family. I just had a bad spirit because I felt like I didn't have anybody. An interesting story is I have been in 33 foster homes and 3 group homes. And my brother, who actually got into foster care with me, he was only in 1 because my stepmom's brother adopted him. And they left me in foster care because I was the one that ran away and told about the abuse. So bouncing around from foster home to foster home, it just made me feel like I wasn't a part of anything. I was already mad because, you know, my brother had got adopted and I didn't, which proved to be a blessing to me in disguise. I did learn a lot about people from bouncing around from home to home. I do have, you know, my 2 favorite foster parents that I ever had. But other than that, it was just, I just felt empty. I never felt like I belonged anywhere. My clothes were always in bags Always in black bags or white trash bags. Shoes under the, everything had to go up under the bed. You probably had one or two drawers to yourself because it was, of course, other girls in the room. So bouncing around, I always felt unstable, like I just was in the world alone, like I didn't belong anywhere. No matter how long I stayed in the foster home, I didn't ever feel like it was home. In a lot of places I went, I ran away the same day. So it was just a feeling of emptiness and just a rebellious feeling. To this day, I've went through times where I haven't had a place to stay, and it just brings me back to being in foster care. So I'm very big on, you know, having a house and things like that because of me bouncing around. So, you know, I'm getting over it now, but as far as like living arrangements and things like that, I always get like anxiety. Even if I have my rent money, when it gets close to the first, I just have some type of anxiety. So it definitely played a role on me as I grew up. I don't ever want to be without an apartment or a house. I make my child feel as much at home as possible. Bouncing around, we used to always have to ask for everything. If we wanted a cup of water, we had to ask. If we wanted juice, if we wanted to make noodles, we had to ask. I remember living with a lady who she had in her kitchen. You ever seen those movies where, like, in the museum, when they turn on the alarm, it's like those red laser lines? She had that in her kitchen. So, like, nobody could go in her kitchen. So,
my goodness.
I never felt that. Yeah, like in the museum, like, it was, like, red all over the, like, red laser lines. If you step in the kitchen, the whole alarm's going to go off.
So, like, oh, my gosh.
If you get thirsty at night, yeah, so if you get thirsty at night, you have to go in the bathroom and drink the water out the sink because you can't go in the kitchen. So bouncing around like that and just being in that type of situation, it was very made you feel very insecure, very abandoned. But now I just make sure, you know, that I made my son feel at home as much as possible. So that was that.
Wow. So when you were going through this as a child, you're being bounced around between all these homes, never had any stability, didn't feel like you belonged anywhere. Just you had little to no guidance, little to no really structure or freedom in figuring out how to navigate childhood. And how did you come about to decide on a career as a stripper?
Well, that came out of convenience. I was embarrassed because I couldn't afford like senior fees. I didn't know senior was so expensive. Senior fees and of course books that you didn't turn in, you had that and you had the ACTs, the SATs. I couldn't afford any of that. So rather me talking to somebody about it, I just dropped out. I remember back then, in foster care, you had to put in like a notice if you needed, you know, anything. So of course, it was like a wait for me to get approved for the SAT or ACT for the funding for that. And of course there was all the other things that I didn't have money for that they didn't cover. So I just ended up leaving school. And, I was selling CDs at the flea market. And of course those were bootleg CDs, the burnt CDs that you're not supposed to be selling. So of course they would sometimes raid flea markets, take people to jail. I just didn't want to do that over CDs. I didn't want to do that. So I was on the city bus and I used to always see this girl. She went to the community college downtown across the street from the bus terminal. And I used to always see this girl, her name was Diamond. And I, you know how you see somebody so much where you feel like you know them because you speak to them like every day? You just hold a conversation. So she was saying that she had to go to work. So I was like, well, where do you work? And she was like, well, I work at the Pony. It was called the Pony Show Bar. They're closed down now, but that's what it was called. And she was like, I work at the Pony. She was like, I'm a stripper. And I was like, well, I told her basically I was in foster care. I needed some money. And at the time I was 17, I was about to age out of foster care. So I was thinking about that as well. So I was almost grown. And I believe it was like 6 months before I turned 18. I know I had to go get a fake ID from one of my friends, and that's how I started dancing at the club, through the girl that I met on the city bus.
Okay. So that was like this, like maybe you saw that as what some of us would say an answer to a prayer, like, oh, here's the solution to this problem that I have. I never have money. I have to ask for it. And when I do, it's not going to cover everything I have. And so now you meet this girl, you start to become, I guess, if you will, friends. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she's got this answer for you. And
yeah, that's how it was.
Okay. What was it like for you to enter that career at the age of 17?
I didn't think I was going to be able to get in the club. I didn't think they would believe the ID, but they did. Entering into the club at 17, it was a big eye opener, but it wasn't, I can't say that I felt completely out of my element. To me, it was just a bunch of women that we all came from different backgrounds. Something went wrong somewhere down the line that led us to the club. Me adapting to the life, I mean, I definitely had to get used to it. I wasn't the type of person that could go up and ask people for money or, you know, try to get money out of anybody. So I had to get used to that. I always felt like, even though I was dancing at that time, even though I just had started dancing, I always felt like it was something more that I should be doing. But at that time, that was, you know, all that I could do. I didn't see much for myself because I had to drop out of school. I was always mature because I had to raise myself. So as far as being in the club and adapting, I can't say it felt uncomfortable because I was always had an older mindset. So the women in the club and things like that, I just had to make sure I didn't tell them how old I was. But as far as like personality wise, I was always very mature. It did make me grow up a lot faster because you had to be mindful of, you know, somebody might take you home and kidnap you. Somebody might follow you home. You might get robbed. You could get set up by another dancer or anything could go wrong. So I definitely I was already mature, but I had to grow up a little bit faster because here I am 17 and I'm in the club with these women that are 20, 30, 40, even 50. So I did have to grow up. I had to mature my mindset, but in the back of my mind, I always knew that I could be doing more because I was always an intellectual person. I was always smart. I wasn't one of those kids in school that just flunk out or just didn't care about anything. I always loved to read. So I always knew that it was something else that was meant for me. But at that time, that was all that I had. So it just, it made me grow up very fast.
And about how long would you say you worked in the club?
Oh, I worked in the club for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
I'm 27. Yes, I'm 27. I stopped dancing when I was 26. November, last Black Friday, the Black Friday that just passed, that was my year anniversary that I had stopped dancing. So I was there for quite a while.
And what was it that changed your mind about doing that type of work? What was it that clicked and when you realize that this isn't what you thought it was?
Well, I always realized that I always knew that that wasn't the path for me. I think what made me click and just change forever, I had stopped dancing when I got pregnant with my son. And that was when I was 23. I had my son when I was 24. I had stopped dancing when I got pregnant. I think I was probably like 2 months, or like 8 to 10 weeks and I stopped dancing. And right after I found out what I was having, my son's dad went to jail. So he went to jail while I was pregnant. I was 5 months pregnant. He went to jail. He never got out. He's actually still in there. He went to prison. And after I had my son, I started going to school to be a medical assistant. And I actually got hired while I was on my externship. So before I even finished school, I was already hired. But then I met back up with one of my old friends, and I started back dancing again because I was used to fast money. And of course, as you know, with any corporate job or any, you know, 9 to 5, you have to work your way up. And so I was starting basically at the bottom as a medical assistant, and I was so used to getting fast money, it wasn't enough for me. So I started, well, I'm gonna just dance on the weekend, and then I work on the weekday. And it ended up being, I was literally leaving my job, picking up my son, dropping him off to his grandma, and going to the club. So it started being like that. I got soup back in it. What clicked, because I kept going back and forth with myself, like, well, I'm a smart girl, so maybe I can get a job and just dance less. But I read this book. I was always an intellectual person, so I always read. So I was, number one, I was already, you know, getting tired of dancing. I was reading this book called First Things First by Stephen Covey. And he had a quote in there from Mahatma Gandhi. And the quote said that one man cannot do right in one department of his life while he is occupied in doing wrong in any other department. Life is one indivisible whole. And out of that whole book, that book was about time management, but out of that whole book, that just stuck out to me because it was my epiphany. I figured out what was going on. I'm trying to do the right thing, but I'm trying to do it the wrong way. I knew that I wanted to have businesses, but I couldn't realistically expect me to dance and get these businesses. You can't try to do the right thing. You can't do the right thing by trying to get it the wrong way. So that is what made me click. Like, you can't halfway do it. You have to be all the way in. If you're going to change, you have to change completely. You can't just try to halfway it over here and still can't try to be successful and still try to live your old life. So that was a clicking moment for me. From then, I'm not going to say I just completely stopped dancing, but I started back getting more into reading. I always like to read. That's my favorite book. That's my favorite subject in school. So I always, you know, something always drew me back to reading. I always liked books. So I started reading Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And it was talking about auto-suggestion and mm-hmm. the law of attraction and, you know, speaking positive affirmations and things like that. So I was at a point where I was like, well, I was, you know, reading these books in the daytime. Then I was going to the club, getting drunk at night and feeling bad. You know how you know you're supposed to do better. So when you backslide, you're like, this was so wrong. So I just kept feeling bad. So then I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to take the book to the club with me. And then that would stop me from getting a drink. That would stop me from. So I actually did it. I started taking books. I took Think and Grow Rich to the club with me. I took The 48 Laws of Power. I took a book called Living Well, Spending Less. But most importantly, I took Think and Grow Rich. I live by that book to this day. I don't think I will ever stop reading it.
Yeah, that is my favorite book and the book I've read the most times.
Yeah. So I took that book to the club with me every night, like every single night. And when I would do my makeup, I would turn on Napoleon Hill on YouTube. A lot of people don't know that it's like a 2 hour, 3 hour long video on YouTube where he's actually reading or explaining Think and Grow Rich. So I would turn that on. So people are looking like, why is she watching this black and white movie? This man talking, like, what is she listening to? And then when it was like slow in the club where it wasn't a lot of customers, I would just go back in the dressing room and I would open up that book and I would read, because I felt like I believed in the law of attraction. I believed in auto suggestion. I believed in all of that. But I just felt like once I drink, of course, you're not thinking about the law of attraction anymore. You're not thinking about any of that. So instead of me drinking and smoking in dressing room, I would open up my book. And I always tell people, I really wish that Napoleon Hill was alive, because I would really tell him that this book, it really changed my life. And I still read it to this day, because I want to master all of it. I have the part about auto suggestion, things like that, but at times I have a little doubt. So I still, you know, read the book to, you know, reassure me. But that was the clicking point when I read that Gandhi quote and that Stephen Covey book. And then I opened up Think and Grow Rich. That was the point where it just changed everything for me. And slowly but surely, I got myself out the club. And I've been reading that book ever since.
Mm-hmm. And that book is incredible. He wrote that book in the early 1900s, like 1930s. And he was so brilliant. I mean, they didn't even auto-suggestion, and the things that he talks about in that book are things that weren't practiced back then. Like now people are starting to realize that, oh, there is something to this. And a lot of people are starting to practice it and adopt this idea and this mindset around that. Yet Napoleon Hill was so brilliantly, or had so brilliantly written this so early on in time, so far ahead of the game. It's incredible. And what an incredible story in how that impacted your life, and the Stephen Covey book and the quote that you shared there. What a beautiful quote. And I love how that made such an impact for you. So reading has become, or has been, such an integral part of your life, and such a part of you finding your path and finding out who you are and where you're going. And now you've taken that passion and you've turned it into something incredible, something that's helping other people. Share with us more about that. What is it that you're doing for other people, and how are you helping them?
Well, right now, I have my book. It's called The Glow Up. And it is actually some of the steps that I took when I decided to change. So I do plan on writing a series of self-help books. And also, I want to write about my life so that people see that, you know, you can come from the very bottom of the bottom and you can still get to where you need to be. I also am speaking. Of course, right now with everything that's going on, I can't go out in crowds, but I am going to be speaking to women, single mothers, foster children, human trafficking victims, because I was a victim of that as well. So I just want to speak to the people that have been in the places that I have been in. And I just want them to be able to see that it is someone that came from where you are at and that reached high places. I believe when I, you know, was looking for motivation, I drew to Oprah. I drew to Eric Thomas. I drew to Napoleon Hill because he didn't start out rich. So I drew to people that I felt like I could relate to. And if Napoleon Hill wouldn't have, you know, shared that story about how he, you know, used to always have a gun, and his stepmom told him to trade his gun in for a typewriter, and things like that, that resonates with me, that sits with me. So I would like to speak to people where I have been in their shoes. I also want to instill reading. People don't know how important that reading is. People think that you just have to go to school to get educated. No, it's so much education in libraries, free education for us. In libraries, it's so much education in bookstores. All you have to do is open up a book and read. And people don't, they always ask me, well, how did you change? I read, like I read. And I really want to instill that in people, because I don't think that they really understand. I think that they look for the answer outside of themselves, and the answer is within us. Like what Bob Proctor said, people are looking for answers outside of ourselves, when you can just open up a book and you can learn so much about yourself. You can learn anything that you want. So I want to help people in that way and instill reading in them, and just motivate them to be the best that they can be, and not to forget about their past, but to use their past as a motivation to be better. So I really just want to motivate people, and I really want to help people in any way that I can, especially the people that feel like they don't have anyone.
That's great, Unika. For people who are listening, let's say if there's somebody listening right now who is going through some challenges, and they're feeling like you did when you were young, like they don't fit in, they don't have any stability, there's no place for them. How would you encourage them to find something more with their life, and how would they get started, and when?
How I think they should get started is, first of all, my first tip to everybody is to start now. That would be my first tip to anybody, is don't wait. Whatever it is that you feel like is your passion, whatever is sitting at the bottom of you telling you that this is something that you should do, you should start now. The main thing that discouraged me at first was I was feeling like, well, I have to change when I stop dancing, or I have to change when I get this amount of money. But it's never a perfect time. So I always tell people, just start now. Even if you start with just writing what your business name will be, or even if you don't know exactly what career path you want to go on, but you know you want to stop smoking and drinking, stop smoking and drinking right now, and then try to figure out what your passion is. Another main thing I would tell someone is to figuring out my passion helped me a lot. I'm not going to say that I knew I would be a public speaker, or that I knew I would be an author, but I knew that reading was my passion. And I knew that I liked to write, and I liked to put my feelings down on paper. So one of the main things that I would advise someone to do is to just sit down and write down things that you like. Even if it's you like looking out the window at trees, you could really be an artist. You could really be drawing your visions, and you don't know that you know how to draw. So I would tell someone to find out your passion. Just write down everything that you like. And from there, find a way to make it a way of life. A lot of people say make a living out of your passion, but I would say make it a way of life. Make it your lifestyle. Writing books and speaking is not just for monetary value to me. It is a lifestyle, because I really truly like helping people. I really truly like motivating people and talking about people about where I came and where they can get to. So I would tell everyone to figure out their passion, no matter how small you think it is. It may be small to you, but it may be gigantic to someone else. And to start now, wherever you are, to start now. And each day as you start, if you change one small thing each day, at the end of the year, there's 365 things that you've changed. So start right now, wherever you are, and with whatever you have. And that would be my advice.
That's great. And as you're talking about that, start now. Even if you don't know what the next step is, you don't know what your vision is, you're not sure what your passion is, you're not sure how. It reminded me of a quote that says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And that is so true. The first step is making the decision, and then taking that step, and despite knowing where you're going or where you're headed. And that's exactly what you did. That's what you're teaching other people to do. And what a wonderful message, Unika.
Thank you.
Well, as we near the end here, I would like to thank you once again for being on the show, and thank you for sharing your story, for being so open and so authentic, and helping whoever you help. I mean, you know, you never know how many people's lives you touch, but there are people out there that are definitely waiting to hear your story. And I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And lastly, you mentioned your book that, tell me again what the name of that is.
The book is called The Glow Up by Unika.
Okay.
It's a simple guide to self-reinvention.
Awesome. And you have that available for pre-order, right?
Yes, I have pre-orders. The book will come out on May the 1st. I'm actually sending my pre-orders out early with a gift inside of them as well. But yes, the book is available now on my website. It's missunika.com, and that's missunikuueka.com.
Okay, wonderful. So if you are interested in getting a copy of Unika's book, or you would like to support her and the mission that she's on, please do visit her website at missunikuueka.com, missunika.com, and get a copy of that now. She has pre-orders for that. She said she has a special gift that she is sending out with her pre-ordered books, and the official release will be on May 1st. Also, if you would like to get in contact with Unika, you can reach her at unikainc@gmail.com or info@missunika.com.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you're ready to reach incredible levels of success in your life, business, and career, start your journey now at www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at acceleratedresults365.com.